Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey on South Sharav Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, a Saturday edition of the Av Podcast, where we're breaking down everything about the NFL playoffs, which includes the last weekend's matchups, where the losing teams go from here. We discuss this weekend's matchups. More importantly, I think one of the biggest news to come out in the NFL in a little while, Mike Tomlin stepping down from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm joined by friends of the podcast, Roger Callender and Carrie Joseph, as we break everything down here for your listening and viewing pleasure. With that said, I'm not going to do an outro for this episode this week, so I'm going to get everything down right here, right now. Going to do another episode catching up on this weekend's playoffs in the week. I feel like my Stoop episode is becoming like a pushback on an album release date. So this one is going to be the following week, unfortunately. Life be life in sometimes, unfortunately. So we're pushing that one back for next week. It's going to be earlier next week, so about a week and a half from now. But yeah, so that one, look forward to that one as well. I'm approaching my 300th episode of the Av Podcast. I'm working on that one as we speak, and looking forward to everything coming down the pipeline right now. All right. With that said, though, South Sharav is available, though, as you know, wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa. You can watch this on the South Sharav YouTube channel. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons wherever you're listening and watching. Make sure you click those 5 stars where it's available. Don't be that person. Click it right now. Don't be that person. Click it. Click it all right now. 5 stars for me, please. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. And you can dive into the catalog over at SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that is SouthShoreAv.com. All right. Anyways, I'm not going to hold you up. I want you to listen to this podcast and or watch it. So let's lock in right now. It's the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Sharav Radio. Let's get it. We'll see you next week as well. Have a great weekend. If you're in Toronto, or I guess Ontario at this point, we got to invest in shovels, man. There's got to be a stock in shovels, because right now the shovel business is booming right now. Anyways, let's go. Welcome to the Av Podcast, where I'm joined by the family members at this stage of the game. I'm joined by Mr. Roger Callender and Carrie Joseph. How are you guys doing today?
Very good, Kelsey.
Living the dream, Kelsey. Living the dream.
Well, of course you say that the Pats are winning.
Exactly.
I am ecstatic. I couldn't be any happier, man. Could not be any happier.
Oh, of course. Look, here's the thing. All my Eagles friends, they're all upstanding guys. I don't feel right like messing with y'all the same way as I do like my Seahawks friends. All my Seahawks friends, I want to rub it in their face when we beat them. But Eagles guys, I'm just like, all you guys are upstanding guys. I kind of like the Eagles. Like, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. And then now Carrie, see, classy. Carrie's wearing a Niners jersey. See, I can't even do anything.
I beat you to it.
Is that why you just put a San Francisco hat on your head? Because you're cold? Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, it's freezing. There's a draft in here.
I'm sure there is. Okay. Whatever you say.
He's got to be humble in defeat, man. Humble in defeat. No,
yeah, see, that's one point right there. This guy got a nice. I need a Rice jersey, actually. Shit. Yes, I need a Rice jersey in my life.
Yes, you do.
I really do. I need that and a Roger Craig one. I've always wanted a Roger Craig jersey.
Absolutely. Pioneer right there.
I don't know where the hell I'm going to get one, but I need to get that, though.
You have that one made.
Yeah, no, I probably will have to, for real. You're right. With that said, I mean, the playoffs have been crazy so far, but I don't think there's any bigger news as what dropped this afternoon. Mike Tomlin, after 19 years, finally stepping down from the Pittsburgh Steeler job. And, like, you want to know what's on his resume? Let's see. 2 Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl victory. He's tied for the ninth most wins in history. He had a record with 193, 114, and 2. You know, to hear him step down after losing 30-6 to the Texans, knowing that there's only been three coaches in the franchise history. When you hear him stepping down, what goes through your mind? I'll start with you, Carrie. What do you guys think when you hear that he stepped down, or that they stepped down today? Like, what was your thoughts?
Well, I feel like I was shocked, but I think he felt like it's run its course. Like, yeah. And the way they lost, he's a man that makes no excuses. And I think, you know, after they started booing him and stuff, like, they had to make a run. They had to win for him to save his job. Like, in a sense. But I don't think the Rooneys would have just fired him. I think they had a conversation and see how it went. But I think he himself was just like, okay, like, this is the end of the chapter. It's like a little unfortunate. Because, you know, I'm a fan of Tomlin. He's one of my favorites. Being a coach, you idolize him.
Black coach.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's a leader of men. He never had a losing record, regardless of the talent that he had. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So,
very impressive.
He can coach again. Wherever he wants, but is he gonna want to jump right onto another team after being with the Steelers for 19 years? Like, I almost feel like he's gonna take a year off, completely cut the ties, and then move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. His contract actually expires in 2027. So either way, he's contractually tied to them for probably the next year before he could even move on. But, yeah, I mean, he's had a fantastic career. He could definitely coach. Like, in a year, I could see him being the top coach candidate. You know, 19 seasons, 19 long seasons, winning record in each season. But I kind of understand why he would want to step away. You know, the past three seasons, they've had, surprisingly, they were 12-6, the same record every single season for the past three seasons, and they all been one and done. So they've all been eliminated every time in the first round of the playoffs for the past 3 years. So he's probably frustrated. You know, he's been there a long time. God knows, I don't know very many people that have done anything for 20 years, for close to 20 years. So, I mean, 19 years, that's crazy. That is crazy. He probably just wants a change. And, I mean, Unfortunately with him, I mean, he's a man that's done, basically, you give him spam, and for the past, you know, what, 6-7 years since Big Ben is gone, since Big Ben retired, he's basically taken spam and made, like, whole meals out of it, literally. Yeah. And I don't know any coach could do that.
Yeah. I'm regardless
of Belichick, anybody. Like, I don't know anybody that can literally recycle their coaches. It's crazy. Like, and that's him, man. I mean, definitely a leader of men for sure. And I know that's not going to be the last time we see him. That's for sure.
Bully beef and bread. That's what he's done, right? With the spam, bully beef and bread.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a meal.
Yes, it is. Oh, man. Grown man things.
Yeah. Or a set of bread, some rice. One time.
Some rice. Yep. White rice. It can't be no other rice. Can't be rice and peas. It has to be just white rice.
White rice.
Oh, it's gotta be oily. Yeah, man. Yeah.
But you know, it's I would say, on behalf of black coaches everywhere, I give him a golf clap, standing O, whatever you need. And in terms of the
sure,
100%, and on terms of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, which is, for people that don't know, that's the The U.S. Black Football Coach, like Coalition or Alliance, they're the ones that try to, basically, I think it's led by Tony Dungy. They basically try to get black coaches placed properly and respectfully into coaching positions. He's the shining example of what this is. He's the shining example of the Rooney Rule, you know. Yeah. And he's a shining example of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, man. Like, the fact that you had this job and maintained it for this long, as I mentioned before, like, this is the third. This the thing in our lifetime. This is the second time they've put out a job search for this position.
Yeah,
like that says a lot. Which, you know what I'm saying?
Which makes it really interesting to see who they choose, because they don't miss. They always pick the right person. Every coach they've hired has got them a Super Bowl, and they were a dominant, good team.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's pressure on the team. It's pressure on the coach. But it's a good pressure. It's the most coveted job. Think about it. It's the most coveted job in the league. Probably in sports, you know that basically but think about it. If you do your job properly, as long as the Dan Rooney Dan Rooney, as long as he sticks to his the lineage of his father, you're gonna have that job for the next 30 years,
yeah.
or 20 years. You know, you could definitely buy a house and pay off the mortgage. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, before you lose your job, you know what I mean? So that to me is where I'm kind of like, you it's a coveted position, because you know, for job security,
yeah.
You know, and this is and I would say the Steelers are the only bubble. They're the only bubble, I think, in sports. I would say maybe outside of like the Miami Heat and like the San Antonio Spurs, who have their coaches run for a long time. But historically, nobody beats the Steelers in coaching longevity. Like, yeah. You get a job there, you could basically, you're going to be there for the next two decades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Chuck Noll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. That's it. That's the list.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you want to be the fourth, like, that's a coveted job, man. Regardless of who's on the roster, it's a coveted job. You know, you do your job well, you're there forever.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I just feel like Tomlin was kind of like a victim of his own success, in the way that he would always win enough to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He would never be good enough to make any sort of wave in the playoffs. And then when you look at the draft,
last few years, yeah,
he's always drafting. They're always drafting in the middle or at the top of the draft at the top of the draft instead of the bottom of the draft. So he would never have access to quarterbacks, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, they've been literally like caught in limbo. I feel like literally for the past, you know, 6-7 years, because, you know, they're too good to not draft early,
yeah.
But then they're not good enough to actually win a Super Bowl or make any real waves in the playoffs. So, yeah, this was probably the best move for him. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens, because there's a lot of vacancies right now. A lot of good vacancies right now, but a year from now, I don't know what's going to be available to him. Right.
Like, I mean, if he jumps in right now,
yeah,
you got to go for where there's a quarterback or where you can acquire a quarterback. So it'd be like the Raiders. They have the first pick. You could have your pick of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Or I'm saying Tennessee with Cam Ward, you have a quarterback. Build around him with Tomlin, defense.
Yeah,
you gotta go. Right. You gotta go to a place where he. To me, let's keep it real. Tomlin couldn't get past in the playoffs because he didn't have a quarterback.
I agree.
And in football, you need to have a quarterback and especially in NFL.
Absolutely, 100%.
Like I said, they're never in a position to draft a quarterback. Or when they do draft a quarterback, you have to develop him into a really good starter. They were never able to – the choices they made, they weren't able to – and then they went after veterans like Rodgers to try to – veteran presence.
Russell Wilson, Rodgers. Yeah, they
fumbled that with Russell Wilson and
– Mason Rudolph.
No, not Fields.
Fields, yeah.
Justin Fields was playing well, and then they made the switch, and then in the offseason they wanted to sign Fields, and he's like, man, why? I'm out, right?
Well, they might get another chance to sign Fields now. The Jets went and shit this man up. I don't know if he's going to be back with the Jets next year. I don't think so.
That's fair.
It's interesting. Do you feel like maybe the Fields, like they could have developed him a little bit more? Because I felt like Fields was, could have been that guy that might have been all right, especially with that structure there.
In Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, you mean, right? Not the Jets, right?
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah, in Pittsburgh. But in Pittsburgh.
To me, I thought that's where Tomlin made a mistake. He was so sick of rookies, like young players. He wanted a vet. So he rolled with Russell Wilson. And that was the wrong move. Justin Fields was playing well.
Yeah.
They were winning. You alienate the young guy. Like, play him until he plays bad. Then you put in Russell Wilson. But you pulled him when he was playing well.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that.
Like, and then the offseason, you want to sign him, he's not going to stay with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. He was finally playing well, Justin Fields. The past couple years, I didn't find he was playing that great. But then when he finally started producing on the field, all of a sudden they decided that, hey, we don't want this guy anymore, and we're going to put in Russell Wilson, which was a completely bad move. I don't quite understand why he did it in the first place. It's not like he was playing bad or anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Mike Tomlin and his quarterbacks, it always seems to be something. Since Big Ben left, it's like just one quarterback. It's like a revolving door.
You got to find the quarterback, man. You got to find the quarterback.
If you don't find the quarterback, man, you're not going to have a chance. Patriots are a perfect example of that. Look at that, man. Quickest turnaround I've ever seen, and it's because they
have the quarterback. You find the quarterback, then you get him an offensive coordinator that he vibes with, and then you protect him.
Yeah. Good defense. And let me tell you, man, that's the recipe for success.
With a young quarterback.
No, it's a fact, because, I mean, really and truly, to your point, Kerry, and both of you guys, because even the end of Ben's run, it was shaky as hell. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. So it wasn't good. Like they probably should have got rid of Big Ben at a certain point. He stayed 2 years too long. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's funny because, you know, for him, it represents, like, this happening represents that, you know, he definitely needed the change. Like he deferred for the decision to be made this fast. Like, he definitely thought about this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he definitely put some thought into this, whether it was weeks, months, a year, or whatever it was. There was definitely thought put into this. You know, and that's the thing. To your point, like, Kerry, I forgot about Tennessee. That's a pretty good position right there. You know, because especially where...
Got a quarterback, another high draft pick.
Yeah.
Got some defensive guys. Got a decent line. Need some weapons in there, though.
They do need weapons badly.
It's an underratedly tough division, though. But they got assets.
Bro, you have Cam Ward on a rookie contract. You have cap space. You go get a veteran receiver. Pay him whatever, $40 million.
AJ Brown might be available.
He's definitely available.
He's definitely available.
Trade him. He's such a talent, but he is a diva, and the divas go through a cycle. They get to a team, and they don't completely be themselves because they're, you know, it's new, but you see some of it, and then when they start getting comfortable, you start seeing, you know, he is a guy that he'll feel good after a loss if he produced. As long as he's producing, he doesn't really care if they win or lose.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. He just wants to produce and dominate and be the man.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that has to be involved, or he has drops because he's, like, unfocused.
How are you supposed to be able to focus when you're sitting there reading a book on the sideline between plays?
Kumbaya, man. Kumbaya.
Yeah. I feel like he needs a change of scenery. He needs a change of scenery, and he needs a different coaching staff. Somebody needs to sit him down and talk to him.
He is who he is, Raj. That's just – it's the cycle. The Stephon Diggs, like, they're good in a place for 3 years. Terrell Owens, the third year is popping off. You probably really want to just 2 years and then trade.
Move on.
You know, you're a team that's, like, close. He's a piece. You use him for 2 years. And then before he can get all diva crazy, you trade him away. Yeah. They just –
It's interesting though, because I have one of my Eagles homies that he had said it to me months ago. Actually, so it's my son's barber, Jeff. Shout out to Jeff. A little off the top, but it's interesting because he kept saying he's a big Eagles fan, and he kept saying all the time, man, we gotta trade AJ, man, we gotta trade him. I'm like, really? He's like, nah, we gotta. He's to your point. He's like, he's piping up, man. We gotta get him out of here. Got to get him out of here. So it's funny, when they lost, I texted him, I think yesterday, like, bro, you were right about AJ. Because he had three drops. He had three drops. After all that barking, he had three drops, which is wild. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's like it's not even the writings on the wall. You're actually being like the Bart Simpson writing lines on that wall. You know what I mean? At this stage.
Go ahead. I was just going to point out that, you know, it's a problem when, you know, this guy's getting like 150 yards a game and they're still losing. Like, I mean, when you don't pass them the ball, you're winning. Yeah. I think that says it all, honestly. Like, if it was me, I would have traded him. I would have traded him before the trade deadline, because that's when you probably would have been able to get your highest value for him. Now teams know that you most likely are not going to bring him back.
Yeah, but he's a top 10 receiver. There's going to be a bidding war. There's going to be a bidding war for him. Well, if we could get a first round pick, even a second, high second for AJ, I'll take it, because receivers come out of college like every year. There's like five, six studs.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Devontae Smith has proven he can be a number one.
Yeah.
They have to re-sign Goddard, but you throw in a rookie receiver in there.
Yeah.
A new OC, lot of mercy.
Definitely a new OC. Yeah, I saw.
Don't promote from within. Sirianni needs an offense coordinator that knows what he's doing, because Sirianni is just a manager of people.
Yeah,
he's not like a great football X and O's guy. He makes bad decisions in games. Like, he does. He's just he keeps the team together, and he keeps it real. He's real. That's who he is all the time. So I can see how players are cool with a guy who's real and talks to you real and doesn't bullshit you and, you know, yeah, we're going to go for it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that, and actually pulls through. And, like, I can see why players would like him. But look at the history. When he had Steichen and Gannon as his coordinators, he went to the Super Bowl. Both those guys get jobs, promotes from within. Bad year. Then he goes out, gets Goof at New Orleans now. Kellen Moore,
yeah.
And Fangio goes to the Super Bowl and wins. Kellen Moore leaves. He promotes from within. The offense only lost one player from the Super Bowl top five offense, and they're like below. Like,
yeah, not good.
In the 20s in offensive production. They need to pay up, go find an OC. Kingsbury, Mike McDaniels, Brian Daboll, even Doug Peterson. Go get an established guy who has an offense. The Eagles, second halves are terrible. Like, no passing yards, no rushing yards. That's because you don't make any adjustments. You have no answers. Once the other team knows what you're doing, it's over.
Yeah, that's no coaching.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how good you are. If we know what you're doing, it's over.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs. In the playoffs, you're going against teams that have established, most likely they have established defenses with established defensive coordinators, and they always make adjustments by halftime. What's working? What's not working? Okay, let's do this. Let's do that. If you don't have somebody to adapt, it's over. So, yeah.
On the last drive against the 49ers, they ran 10 plays.
So Brown for sure can go back to Tennessee.
And these guys ran 3 passing concepts in 10 plays in the fourth quarter on the last drive against the NFL defense. The last play, they ran the same play twice. Like, that's coaching. Give me a break. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, yeah, Brown, I guess, can go back to Tennessee for real. But I want to circle back to Tomlin for a second, though, because I was just going to say, like, it's interesting where he's in a unique place in his career, which I like for him. It kind of plays to the advantages for him, because if he wants to go back and coach again, like a Tennessee or one of these jobs, he could do that. If he wants to take a year off for more, he's earned that. You've been working for 20 years. You've built up capital and money and stuff. Like, he's one of the best paid coaches in the league. He could do that. If he decides that he wants to do TV, Amazon Prime coming up with shows, especially Netflix now coming with shows. Some of these gambling sites now connecting with, like, these networks and coming with shows. You know, do you want to get paid that way? I mean, you could do that multimedia. You could do that too. Like, that's the thing. He's 53 years old, but it doesn't mean that he has to coach again. He did it for 20 years. He's basically been coaching in the NFL between being assistant, special teams coach, all that type of stuff. He's basically been coaching most of his adult life. You know what I mean? So if he decides now that, like, if he wants, like, I think that if I was on his team, if I was his, not even his agent, but, like, if I was, like, in his inner circle, I would tell him, bro, at the very least for the next month or two, definitely don't answer no calls. Take a break. Just detox. You know, say whether it's going on vacation, you know what I'm saying? Going fishing, just spending time with the family, learning how to make bully beef, whatever you want to do. Just make sure that you just take that break as long as you can. And you go from there. You know what I mean? And then after, make sure it's oily. But from there though, I would make sure though that I would take real stock in what you want to do. Like, if I was him, unless I really want to coach, I would do TV, because you're still in the sport. You still get to talk about the game. You're still going to be a big voice. You're going to get paid pretty much the same as a coach. At this stage, because of his resume, with way less stress, and you're still involved in the game, and you still get to go spend time with your family, especially if you're like a Brady and jumping into, like, doing announcing. Even if you're doing a studio job, you're in there, like, you know, like, you fly in Saturday, you're leaving out Sunday night, like Strahan and those guys do. You're good. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, and like I said, you still get to enjoy your years. It's funny because we never thought Jimmy Johnson would be a great, like, TV personality or whatever, and, you know, we never thought, like, Cowher would be on TV for as long as he's been. And look how long those guys have been on TV. When they ask Cowher, would you ever coach again, he's like, are you insane? I'll never do that again. It's like another life. Like, you still get to talk about the game
right away.
You know the game inside out, and you're still getting paid, and you don't have to be waking up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, and they get paid well. They get paid well. Yeah. They get paid very well. I mean, a lot of them, they spin it off to their own TV. They have their own sports shows or podcasts, or, like, look at all these coaches and ex-athletes that are, you know, they're popping up on different shows. They have these features. I mean, it's such a different world now compared to 20 or 30 years ago. Like, now, these guys, they can literally, it's almost like they're living the second half of their life after football. And if they do it right, there's tons of opportunities out there.
Yeah. Legitimately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Legitimately. With that said though, with these last weekend's full of games, the six games in total. Was there anything from that weekend that surprised you? Or like that you took notes in terms of like that caught your attention, whether it's victories, whether it's player performances during those six games, what stuck out with you during this weekend? And you can include last night as well, the Monday drubbing, basically that execution, which everybody, whatever you want to call it, whatever that was last night.
It was a beat tough. Yeah, I would say the Green Bay and Chicago game. I think that was a little surprising.
Really?
Green Bay, yeah. The Bears, the way the Bears came back, like they literally only start. It's like Caleb finally woke up in like the fourth quarter with like 10 minutes left. Before that, it was like 21-9, 21-3, and then 21-9 at the end of the third quarter. Like, I remember I was watching that game, and Calvin, you remember we were out, and I'm watching it. I thought it was over by the third quarter, honestly. It was going into the fourth quarter. They were down by what? They were down by 11 points, and then Green Bay just kept on scoring. I remember Golden had that fantastic touchdown, and it was like 27-9. So I was like, okay, this game's over.
Holy cow.
Stop watching it. Next thing you know, I look back, and it's like, 31-29, and Chicago's winning, and I'm like, whoa, what the hell just happened?
That's what they have done all second half of the season.
Listen, they
go crazy in the fourth quarter.
I don't watch Chicago games, to be honest with you, so I was a little surprised, but I mean, it was a cross between being surprised by how well Caleb was playing after he was playing so awful and watching Green Bay literally implode. Like, they started missing extra points. They started missing field goals. And all of a sudden, like, they're playing so well. Like, and it's not even like Love had a bad game. He had like three touchdowns to three different people. He threw a horrible interception.
Yeah.
Where he was kind of falling back and he kind of just chucked it up. And he was just playing terribly. And then all of a sudden, I stopped watching the game, and then I turned back on, and it's like, whoa, what happened? 31, where did all these points come from? I had to watch the highlights this morning just to see what happened, because I couldn't believe it. It's crazy.
No, man, he has that, like, fourth quarter gunslinger. That throw on fourth down, rolling to his left on a dime, that throw is, there's only a handful of people that could do that.
Yeah.
He has that. All he needs is like the discipline, the consistency with his fundamentals.
Yeah, he's definitely a gunslinger.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you got to like rein him in. And then, okay, now you can be that guy. You know, create, like the way he escapes, like he's improved. And they got him a coach. That coach is getting the most out of him. They put weapons around him, protected him.
Yeah. That's a good team, man.
He might throw you a couple.
Yeah, he probably will. But then he'll throw some touchdowns to kind of equalize it as well. I mean,
on your head. Yeah.
He's got that
like
big
perfect coverage, like, but perfect ball. So
yeah. Yeah. He's got that Brett Favre gene.
Yeah,
he just keeps on firing regardless.
Yeah, it's turnovers. They get stops when they need to. Yeah. It's crazy. They work in tandem. Like,
yeah.
And that coach is.
You love him and he drives you crazy all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And he kind of does, and it's funny because he kind of does everything that you tell quarterbacks not to do. He shows a lot of emotion. You could see him on the sideline. He's like pissed. He's running around. He's walking back and forth. You could tell he's angry. You know, he does careless stuff too. But then when the chips are down, all of a sudden it's like, you know, this guy's throwing, like, he's throwing beautiful passes, like gorgeous passes. He could run. At one point I saw him run and I thought it was Swift. I was like, is that a running back?
He has it all.
This guy has all the tools. He needs structure.
Yeah.
And he needs to be more disciplined. That's what he needs. Like, he needs to kind of, I don't know if it's getting out of your own head, but He has all the tools, man. He could literally be the best quarterback in the league. He could, if he just stays disciplined.
For me, like, two things. The way Josh Allen put Buffalo on his back, Jacksonville outplayed them, and he just, like, willed the team to win. Yeah. It was impressive.
It was. That was impressive.
And New England, man. New England is just hard-nosed football team, good coaches, and a good quarterback. Like,
yeah.
Man, any one of these teams can win the Super Bowl.
It's wide open. It's literally wide open, man. It's literally wide open. I mean, I think New England surprised me a lot. They did. Like, people don't realize.
I was going to say, Roger, I'm with you where – say that I'm with you when it comes to the Bears, because I'm like, I can't believe it, and then I can believe it, because, like, yeah, we're at our dinner, you know, our celebratory dinner that we're having for our boy that passed away a few years back, and like, when I heard it was 27-9, I said the same thing. I wasn't watching, I was just eating dinner and stuff and talking with everybody, and then when I think it was you that was like, yo, look at the score, and I saw the score, I'm like, yeah, I can see that too, like. If you have high blood pressure, I wouldn't be a Bears fan. I couldn't be a Caleb fan if I had high blood pressure. I couldn't do it, because I think he just drives you crazy. Like, he's going to do things where it's going to be amazing, and then he's going to do things that's going to make you want to pull your hair out.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's crazy. I think Ben Johnson has done a great job. He's done an awesome job this year in terms of changing the culture, because I know that was there was the thing with the handshake with LaFleur after the game, and a bit of a controversy going on with that. And, you know, people were like, you know, what's the sportsmanship? And when he explained it, I was like, I actually found myself clapping for him, because he's like, it's a rivalry. Like, I bought into this rivalry. Like, why am I going to be shaking hands with this guy and, you know, showing? He's like, no, we hate them. I hate Green Bay. We hate them. We historically hate them. I'll do the handshake, but I'm not sticking around for much more. I'm like, I love that. I'm like, that's an honest. That's one of the more honest answers you hear from a coach. Usually it's very diplomatic. That was an honest answer. I love that. You know what I mean? And it's probably going to make for better football games going forward, as long as those two of them are coaching. You know? But like I said, like, is Caleb Williams talented? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Does he have the tools? I agree with both of what you guys are saying, because you guys had to educate me on him coming out of USC. I don't watch college football like that. Everything on paper says that, like, I should believe him in more, but why don't I? Well, I think it's moments like these, right? Like, he drives you crazy. Like, they're a good team, though. They're a good team, but it's like, I don't believe in them like everybody, or maybe I should, but I don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I just don't. It's just one of those things. I have to see more. And they drive you crazy, but the talent is there, though.
If they keep it close in the fourth quarter, they have a chance. That's what they are. But what you should do is just blow them out. Exactly. So they can't come back on you. But if you keep it close, they're gonna have a chance to win. I don't think they're better than the Rams, but if they keep it close, and I think it's a high scoring game, and it's whoever gets the ball last, and they get the ball last. They can beat the Rams?
I think so. And I think the Rams defense, can be beat. I mean, the Rams offense is fantastic, obviously. Number one O-line.
Yeah, the Bears aren't going to be able to stop them.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be able to stop their offense. But if they slow them down, the Rams defense, they could be run on and they could be passed on. I've seen it multiple times before. But I don't know. With the Bears,
I don't like teams that are inconsistent.
I don't like teams that are just undisciplined. That's my biggest thing. I don't like it. You don't know what you're going to get from them, right? And they're kind of living on the edge too, whereas, you know, you're counting. You wait to the fourth quarter, 20 minutes to obviously start playing. It's like all of a sudden everybody – it's like they have no desperation, right? It's like they have no – you know, some people, they have that drive and they want to produce And it's like they're just trying to force it. With them, I feel like, especially with Caleb, I feel like in fourth quarter, all of a sudden it clicks on and he's like, wait a minute, we're going to lose this game. And then, bam, he kind of clicks it on and all of a sudden he's playing Superman, right? I don't know if that's going to work when you go against a really good team. You know, if you're going against the Rams, I don't know if that's going to work. But, hey, we're going to find out.
No, the Rams should win, and they should win comfortably, but what the Bears are doing, man. And
it's to your point.
It's in Chicago. It's in Chicago.
Oh, it's in Chicago. Pretty much, yeah.
Home field advantage, man. It means something. And you got a warm weather team coming into the cold.
That's a thing, man.
It is, man. And that stadium's going to be rocking, bro. Like, anything, it's the playoffs. I'm just saying, it's...
Anybody can win it.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams like blow them out. But I could see it. I can see Chicago winning if it just bounces their way.
Yeah,
a couple of fumble punts or missed field goals, and
especially when it's cold outside, man. I mean, people don't realize like that's like the sixth man right there. Like, people don't realize that you're coming from a dome. You're coming from a warm weather climate. A dome, and then all of a sudden you're playing outside in Soldier Field. It's loud. It's cold. It's going to be -5, -10. You know, you're going to want to try and pass the ball. That pulse is going to be like a rock for those receivers catching the ball. You know, usually that type of condition, it's usually more of a defensive game, and it ends up being more of a rushing game than anything else, right? Because the quarterbacks don't want to take those hits. They don't want to hold the ball too long. You know, the receivers don't really want to catch those balls because they're hard or they come in too fast. So, I mean, we'll see. It could be anybody's game, 100%. The Rams could lose this game very easily, and I wouldn't be surprised. They shouldn't, but they could.
Here's a couple of things that surprised me as well. How the hell did Stroud have five turnovers and they still blew out the Steelers? That alone kind of tells you why Tomlin quit. Because that doesn't make any sense at all. Zero sense. There's no correlation to that I've ever seen. That is ridiculous. How do you get five turnovers and blow out, not even win, but blow out the other team? It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
He played bad, man.
There's no rhyme or reason to that.
This guy, he looked like he was skittish. He looked like he was literally running for his life. He had some bad interceptions. Like, he wasn't seeing the field at all. Which is kind of weird because at the end of the game, he had like two touchdowns. I think it was like two touchdowns and over 200 yards.
He made some big throws. He made some good throws, but then he made some awful plays. But the flea flicker was such a bad call.
Yeah, it was such a
bad call at that point, man. You guys are moving the ball.
Yeah,
why do that? You're moving the ball.
Yeah, it made no sense. It made no sense. But I mean, yeah. I don't know. That Texans offense.
Yeah, I'm not
speaking of Texas offense. The defense is really good.
That defense is crazy. That defense
is amazing.
They got pass rushers. Amazing they got defense. Linebackers that will smoke you, and then they have cover guys everywhere that'll take the ball away.
Yeah,
like they're.
Yeah, that defense is scary. But as good as that problem. Defense is,
the only thing about that defense is that it's like they don't play a lot of exotic coverage. Deceive you. They're just. This is what we're doing, and we're coming after you, and you got to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. As good as that defense is, their offense is bad. Like, their O-line, oh, my God.
And Collins is out.
Gutted, out
this game.
They've been gutted. That offensive line is gutted. Nico Collins, I don't know if you guys saw that head injury he took. It was a bad injury. Like, this guy almost looked like he spiked into the ground head first. Like, I don't think he's going to be making it for the next
game. Probably not playing next week.
I don't think so, no. You know, some people get hit and you're like, okay, well, you know what? They're a little shaky. You could tell. Yo, this guy could barely even walk. I don't know if you guys know this, but they carted him back to the locker room. It was that bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's a serious, serious head injury. But yeah, I mean, defense was championships. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. The Patriots defense surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah,
No, I was gonna say I thought with the pass D, I thought they killed Herb Sack. I thought they killed him.
Yo,
for the second to last sack, I thought he was dead.
Oh, that second to last sack was brutal. I felt that sack where he got hit in the helmet. He got hit in the stomach with the helmet, yeah, while the other guy was hitting him.
How did not go into a blue tank?
And the chest and the
ribs.
That was crazy.
They should have just threw the white flag at that point, because this guy was getting killed. I actually legit felt bad for this guy. I was like, how are they not moving the blue tent onto the field so this guy could just sit inside there? Because it seemed like after every play, he was getting hit, and he was getting hit hard too. But I mean, like I was saying, just Patriots defense. The first five games, they were spectacular. But then Milton Williams went down, and they are, you know, Milton Williams, Kerry knows about him because they brought him in from the Eagles. He's very, very dominant. He got injured, and he literally just came back, I think, like a game for the last game of the season. And then Spillane, he was injured too. He was out for like the last four or five games, and he's their tackler. Like, unfortunately, the thing with these Patriots is that they have no depth. So the guys that play, they play well. And if they get injured, then all of a sudden the team is just fucked. Right, they're screwed.
Yeah,
everybody's healthy, everybody's back, and you saw what they did.
Yeah,
they were flying around.
Gonzalez is a dread.
Yeah.
That corner is nice, man.
He's legit.
Has everything like length, speed, like smarts, like.
Yeah.
He's long.
He's a shutdown corner.
You want to chisel that guy out. Yeah, 6'3" corner, 4'4" speed, hands, intelligence.
Yeah, that Chargers O-line, I would say it was a turnstile, but I think that's an insult to turnstiles, because at least turnstiles, that turnbuckle at least is a resistance. it's like they just removed that turnstile. Like, it wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Like, at least a turnstile gives you resistance when you're riding the subway. At least it hits your leg. They were just running free and clear. It was crazy. I didn't understand what was happening. That fourth quarter, I was like, holy smokes. I'm like, he's gonna die.
Two tackles on IR.
This field, like, it's nuts.
Two first rounders.
Yeah.
It's like, man. Yeah. Bad luck.
Yeah, he came back to bite him in the worst way.
No, I was just saying, it's a testament that they were able to win as many games as they did and actually make it to the playoffs. Especially when your left and right tackle got taken out early, like really, really early. But I felt bad for Herbert, and I'm not even a Chargers fan. I'm a Patriots fan. You know, watching this guy take those hits, I was like, maybe they should pull him at this point. Yeah, like,
that was crazy.
There was, you know, they smelled, the Pats smelled blood, and it seemed like every single play they were blitzing. Every single play. Like, this guy was getting hit again and again and again and again. And not just little love taps. Like, he was legit getting creamed to the point where I didn't think he was coming back.
Yeah.
And it seems like also, like, once again, Chargers, play calling had no imagination. They made zero adjustments.
Yeah.
They literally just went in there and thought, okay, well, you know what? We're going to be able to run the ball and we're going to be able to pass. And that's it. Like, they made no adjustments. Nothing changed after the second half. And the Patriots, they just defensively, I didn't know whether they were in coverage or whether they were in man. They did, like, they just, whatever they were in, they did an excellent job hiding it. Like, I saw a lot of man coverage.
Yeah. A lot of man.
I saw a little bit of zone. And you could go into man coverage when your four guys are literally destroying the old linemen. And they were just setting safety blitzes, corner blitzes. Like, it was coming from everywhere. I didn't even, like, I felt bad for the guy, man. I was like, this guy's just getting creamed. He couldn't get the ball off. So I loved it. And I think I feel like the next game against the Texans, it's going to look very similar to that. Like, they're going to blitz Stroud on every single play. And they're going to try and, they're just going
to have the similar issue that there's not an O-line.
Yeah. Because their O-line is, I mean, their O-line, it's not as bad as the Chargers, but it's not good. It's below average for sure.
Who, Patriots?
No, not the Patriots. I'm talking about Texans.
Okay.
The Texans.
They traded away
that's below average O-line.
They traded away their best tackle last year. What was his name? Lawan. Like
Tunsil.
Tunsil, sorry, yes.
Tunsil, yeah.
Yes, Jeremy Tunsil, yeah. They traded away their left tackle. I still don't understand why. It must have been.
And they traded another guy away too. Like it was crazy what they did.
Yeah, it makes no sense. It makes no sense.
I respect to the Panthers because they gave the Rams a fight. But also I'm surprised that the NFL hasn't invoked this rule, which means I feel like any team that wins a division that's under 500, you don't deserve to get a home game.
I agree.
Because I'm sorry. Because I think that's ridiculous. For you to be 8-9 and get a home game, I think is ridiculous. And honestly, if that game was in LA, I think LA probably would have won by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even like, I think
So why change it? That's the whole point, right? That having that game in Carolina was better.
I mean, I guess
it was a better game. It would have sucked to watch the Rams. Panthers.
Man, my God, like,
yeah, I don't know, man.
It gave a better game.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they must figure it's like the equalizer, right? Because you know the lower seed team, they probably have a better chance. Better chance of, you know, that equalizing factor when they're on their home field. But I don't know, man. I don't feel like you should be going into the playoffs with a losing record and still deserve a home game.
So it should just be straight records then?
I think so.
At the end of the year, and then if there's a tiebreaker, it's if you guys played each other or whatever.
I'm not even saying it should be straight records. I'm saying if the division winner is under 500, they shouldn't host a playoff game. If you're 9-8, host it. If you're 8-9 or 7-10 and you win the division, nah, man, you got to go on the road. Like,
it's your punishment.
make it like an exception to the rule at the very least. I'm not saying every time you got to do that. I'm just saying, babe, if Tampa Bay would have won, they would have been 8-9 too. That's crazy. But I will say it made for a better game though. Better game being in Carolina. But my God, yeah. Where do you guys see these losing teams, the ones that lost from this past weekend? Where do you guys see them going from here? Because I was saying for myself, I feel like it's Jacksonville, and it's not because that reporter was giving the coach Liam the best pep talk you've ever received in his life. I don't know if you guys caught that. That was like the equivalent of like Big Mama from Soul Food giving the pep talk and then inviting him back for Sunday dinner. That's what it felt like. It was actually kind of cool. I don't know why there was controversy for that. But it was actually a nice human, that was nice. I thought it was dope. But honestly, I'm like, the season they played was great, man. They finished the season really strong. Trevor Lawrence finally like showed like, okay, like he's really tapping into his potential. They got a sound defense. They got good wideouts. They got a good run game. They're coached well. And they did all this without Travis Hunter, even like missing most of the season. So I think out of all the teams I lost, to me, I think their future is the brightest.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, fantastic defense, you know. I think they were first or second best rush defense in the league. Their offense was fantastic, you know, since they picked up Jacoby Myers. You know, they just took off. Trevor was playing amazing. I feel like they have the best path to potentially make it to the playoffs next year. I only see one problem, and that's, to be honest with you, Trevor Lawrence. Like, I mean, he played really well during the regular season, but, you know, in that game, he played too many interceptions, like too many turnovers. I don't know if it was nerves. I don't know if, you know, I don't know what it is, but I think if he gets over that hump, they could potentially make it to the AFC Championship and potentially the Super Bowl as well.
Yeah, and a tough division too. Cause I mean, that AFC South, looking at back at it now, it's actually a tough division. I mean, you know, Tennessee notwithstanding, but like, I mean, remember earlier in the season, we thought we were joking about the Colts, and the Colts was like undefeated or pretty much like halfway through the year, right?
Yep.
And until Daniel Jones went down, and then now you have like Houston is still there, and like it's a tough division now.
It is.
And we still don't know what Tennessee is going to bring, depending on the coach and everything, right?
Yeah, I also like Carolina. I like Carolina. I like what Bryce Young is doing down there. McMillan, I thought that was an excellent draft pick for them. He's probably going to be the rookie of the year. He played amazing. And they have a solid defense. Like, I mean, all those years of top five draft picks, I feel, finally started to kick in. I think they're a few pieces away from really being a really, really good team, because they surprised a lot of people this year.
But come on, guys. The best team that lost was the Eagles. By far. Yeah. The best team that lost. Yeah. They just need to tweak a couple things, and they're going to be right back in as a problem. But they have to pick the right coordinator.
Yeah.
They have some decisions to make with, like, Goddard and N'Kobe Dean.
I don't think that's I don't even think that's a decision. I think they need to sign Goddard.
Yeah,
I would agree. Yeah, I think they need to bring him back, honestly. I think they need to get rid of A.J. Brown.
Yeah, trade him.
Yeah, I think they need to trade him. Trade him, see what you can get for him. Pick up a young wide receiver. You already have, even with A.J. Brown gone, you know, your 1B becomes your 1A.
Yeah.
You still have Goddard. You still have that great O-line. You still have Saquon. They need a new one. I just wouldn't call them a young team. They're more established.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Eagles are the best team out of all the teams that lost. They have still a bright future. Like, look at all their core players are young. Quinyon Mitchell, second year. Cooper DeJean, second year. Jalen Carter, third year. Jordan Davis, Jahad Campbell.
Fair point.
Like, they're all young guys. Jalen Phillips. We have to sign Jalen Phillips. You know, like, the O-line, I think we need to start, like, preparing for Lane Johnson. He missed a lot of time again.
Yeah.
Malad is in his 30s. So you got to get some depth there. But, like, just get some more weapons. Get a good OC. They're fine.
Yeah.
There was no identity on this offense from an offense that was top five. It just highlights how important coaching is. It's not like those other sports. Well, yeah, you know what? Coaching helps, but in the end, those guys are just, they're doing it out there. You know, like football, there's a plan, there's a design. Like, you have to execute the plan. Like, you need the coaching. If a coach is not designing proper plays or have the sequencing of calling plays.
You can't even say you're biased. It's a good point. It's a fair point you're making.
You know, like, setting plays up. Like, Shanahan put on a masterclass. Like, that's what you do. When you need a touchdown, you do something you haven't done all year. Because, okay, we're gonna get our best player on this guy, and then we'll make a play. Like, Petullo drove down the field calling the same plays that he's been calling all game.
Yeah, there was no wrinkles. There was nothing.
No motion. The same formation for 10 plays, and then Saquon didn't touch the ball. You don't even get your best player the ball ever, like a check down, a draw, in the flat, nothing.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, the good offensive coordinators, they know, like, literally, if you don't make plays in the playoffs, you're going home. It's do or die. So you'll see quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that don't normally run, all of a sudden they're running. They'll be throwing in new plays that you haven't seen all season. Because all these defensive coordinators, they have access to the same information, like the same videos. They see your plays. You know, they have, 17 weeks, 18 weeks worth of tape that they watch. You have to show them something different. You have to do something different.
Yeah.
If you go in there and you're playing, you're doing the exact same thing you did in the season because it worked in the season. No, playoffs is a completely different animal, man. These defensive coordinators, it's like the best of the best. They know what they're doing, and they will stop you. You gotta switch things up somewhere, man. And they didn't do that. They didn't do that at all. They just thought they were just going to walk in there and just win, and that's it.
Agreed.
Crazy.
Agreed. Before I ask for you guys' selections, real quick, did you see the press conference with, I didn't see the full of it, but just some of the comments that I've seen from the Ravens owner. Man, I'm kind of wondering if he has a practice range in his house, like a gun range in his house, because some of the shots he took at Harbaugh and that kicker, my God, I'm like, talk about on, I wouldn't say unleashed, but man, it's kind of interesting. Like, I'm like, he threw the kicker under the bus. You know, when they asked him, like, if he had won the job, oh, would Harbaugh be there? You know, would Harbaugh be like, yeah, he's like, for a week. I'm like, damn. Like, what the hell happened in negotiations there? Like, good Lord.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. I didn't see that.
That to me was wild. And yeah, and then the statement he made too about you know, when they're asking like if Lamar Jackson's gonna have input on the next coach, and he's like, absolutely he is, but he's like, but he has no power. I have the power, and I'm like, yo.
Whoa.
That's some
that one didn't feel great hearing that.
That's
some, yeah, he said that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, you're not supposed to say the quiet part out loud, man. Like, what are you doing? We know you're the owner, but goddamn, you're not supposed to say that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was quite interesting. It was an interesting press conference. I don't know what that was about, but I was like, that it went from, because I think the big clip was from that conference, of course, was finding out Tomlin stepped down, so he was making the joke that, like, you know, if like they're like, should you get Harbaugh? Not just get Harbaugh, but should you get Tomlin? And they're laughing, and he's like, wouldn't that be crazy? He's like, wow. He's like, only if Harbaugh gets the Steelers job, you know. So that was like the running joke, but it was like after Edmund along, I was like, whew, okay, quite interesting. But yeah, you're not supposed to say the quiet part out loud.
No,
definitely not.
No,
unless you're Jerry Jones.
Yeah, unless you're Jerry. Yeah, of course. But I mean, they don't win anyway, so it's fine. with that said, though, so I guess kind of to wrap up, we'll make this pretty semi-quick or pretty quick in terms of the matchups for this weekend. Basically, who you got, man, and we'll keep it kind of short and sweet, or at least for this part of it anyway. We'll start with the first matchup, Buffalo and Denver. Who y'all got?
I got Buffalo.
I got Buffalo too, Calvin. I got Buffalo too. I don't trust Bo Nix.
Yeah,
I like Denver's defense, but I find Denver's offense is sometimes they just have difficulty scoring. They don't really have a run game. Not since what's his name went down. He went down in the third.
Dobbins,
J.K. Dobbins. Not since Dobbins went down. I don't find they have a very strong run game. Bo Nix, I've seen so many games where literally like they had to come back in the fourth quarter, which he seems to be very good at. But I mean, on the negative side, you have to be down to have to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, 4 weeks in a row where you're literally down going into the fourth quarter and you have to mount some sort of crazy comeback. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of their offense. And I think right now, you know, Josh is just playing out of his mind. And his defense is good. I mean, I know some people shit on his defense, but he has a really good defense. His rushing offense, you know, they have the top rushing offense in the league. And their defense is a top five defense. So, I mean, I think they're going to be hard to beat for anybody. And I don't think Denver's going to be able to stand up to that.
Yeah, I agree with Buffalo too, man. I'm going to go. I don't know about the spreads all that great, but I know about the money lines. My money line, I would take Buffalo. You know, love him or hate him, Josh Allen has played well in the playoffs. When they lose, you can't say it's because of him.
Yeah,
I know. Seriously speaking, like, he plays well. And I know Denver's defense is great, but I'm trusting him more than I trust Bo Nix and that defense. Like, I feel like they're going to make just enough plays to win that game. Even with the thin air, even with Denver's D, I'm going to go with Buffalo as well. Y'all already know my answer on the next one. You already know. I'm gonna be 100% biased. You're never gonna get me to say the Seahawks are gonna beat them. I don't care if they're like the Legion of Boom versus the worst Niners team in the history. I'm never gonna say the Seahawks are gonna win. I'm never gonna do it. So y'all make the pick. I'm biased. I'm gonna say it from now. Who y'all got?
Then you're definitely not gonna like my pick, Cal. You're definitely not gonna like my pick. I am taking the Seahawks for this game, man. Their defense. I watched the last game right before the end of the season where San Fran went against the Seahawks, and that defense basically tore them apart. And that is with a healthy your tight end there that just tore his Achilles. Kittle. Pardon me? Kittle, yes. Kittle. Yeah, Kittle's gone now. He's gone for the season. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. If San Fran makes it out alive with this one, I would be surprised just because of how dominant they were during the last game that I watched. And San Fran's defense, not that good. Sorry, Cal. Not that good.
They fly around, though. They fly around.
They do. They do. But, I mean, they're not like past San Francisco defenses, which were dominant.
But for me, it's all on Darnold. He just has to have a decent game.
Yeah.
You don't have to have an amazing game. Just have no turnovers. Make the throws where you need to make. Scramble. Get a couple first downs. The defense will overwhelm San Fran. But, like, if Darnold's playing erratic and throw a couple picks.
There's a chance.
There's a chance, man. But, man, Seattle's going to be tough. In Seattle, that defense is for real.
Yeah, that defense.
There's some serious defenses in this playoff.
Yeah.
With the Texans and Seattle.
Denver. Yeah.
Denver. Oh, it makes me feel so happy.
Yeah, we've been doing it the way that one. Yeah. If you're a defensive guy, if you like low scoring games,
you ain't lying about that. I can't lie to you. That last game of the season, that defense was that Seahawks defense was for real. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I'm hesitant, man.
Like I said before, the fan in me is gonna take San Fran. But honestly, my focus isn't even on that. My focus is on Warner. Like Warner's, they opened up that 21-day window. He's probably gonna play. I'm not thinking he's gonna play. He's practicing. He's gonna play.
He's actually practicing. But
the fan in me, am I happy that he's playing? Absolutely. Yeah, he's practicing today. He's practicing.
Wow.
So, like I said, if he's practicing, he's gonna play. Am I happy as a fan? Yes. But as a person who I believe that as a player, I'm not crazy about that. And it's funny. This is the mature Calvin right now. This is not the fanatical Niners fan in me like that. Like 10, 15 years ago, I'd be like, yes, run him out there. But now I'm like for longevity of the career, like. Something happens to him in this period in time, like he may not come back the same. Like,
and
I mean, there's so much examples of that in sports where in sport you're giving up your body for something that, like, you know, like if you break your body, that team ain't gonna love you back. They gonna cut you. You know what I mean? We just saw it. I mean, case in point. I mean, I know this is a different sport. It's basketball now. We just saw that with Halliburton in the finals, game seven. His calf was going. You're like, I remember even before game seven, I'm like, I wouldn't play. Like, if his calf is this tight, I wouldn't play. And then, sure enough, what, by the end of the first quarter, he's being carried off with a blown Achilles. You know, and yeah, science has changed, it's improved, but Achilles is Achilles, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you saw Isaiah Thomas in Boston, he hit his hip. Boston cut him, like, you know, that summer. You know what I mean? After everything he gave, he didn't even get his bag. Like, there's so much examples. Grant Hill in Detroit. Like, I'm talking basketball, of course. I know football is a whole different thing. But I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, like, especially in football, when the contracts aren't guaranteed, you know, as much as you love the game don't always love you back like that. So that's why I'm kind of, like, seeing Warner practice. It's like, I didn't have that, like, yes, let's go. I'm kind of like, should he be playing?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know? And then look, I mean, look what happened with Kittle. Like, Kittle, you know, like Kittle's career might be, I don't want to say done, but, yo, he blew his Achilles in his 30s. Like, that's, at the tight end, that's, I don't know. That's he could be back in 8 months, but, it, I mean, he might miss the entire 2026 season. But right? He's, so that's kind of where I'm like, you know, let's see. Did you guys see that clip where he climbs the scaffold in the stadium?
No,
I did.
And he goes like 30 feet high before he climbs over it. Did you? I don't know if y'all seen that.
I thought that was AI, Calvin. I didn't realize that was real. That was real.
That was real.
Fuck. Yo, this guy climbed high. If that's the case, wow. I thought that was AI, man. I was like, yo, this guy climbed that shit fast too, man.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Good for him. Shit.
That was crazy.
I thought that was AI.
That was crazy. That was wild. So yes, looking at that, I'm like, shit, maybe he is back after all. Because that was nuts. That was nuts. Now he was like 50 feet high. I can't even say 20 feet. He's like 50 feet high.
I didn't even think that shit was real, man, honestly. And the way he climbed that,
he climbed that faster than any of us could run it up the stairs.
It was, yeah. It didn't even look real to me. I thought it was fake.
That was nuts. The Texans and the Patriots. Well, we already know who Rodgers got. So, Kerry, who do you got? I think it's a toss up for me, actually. But who do you got, Kerry? I'm not even listening to Roger.
I'm going Patriots. I just like how they play football. They're well coached. Houston Texans offense, especially if Collins doesn't play. I don't know if they're able to do enough. But we'll see, man. Like, the Houston Texans defense can take over a game. So that's what they're going to have to do to win the game.
Yeah.
But Josh McDaniel is just too smart. They run a simple defense. They're going to find ways to score, take some chunks. And I think the Patriots win.
Yeah, I think they're going to – they need to find a way to protect Drake May. I think that will be the key to the game. If they can protect Drake May and give him another 2, 3, 4 seconds to throw the ball, then I think they could win. Because, yes, Texans defense is amazing. But I don't know if you guys saw that last game of the season where they went against the Colts. They went against the Colts' backups, basically, because the Colts decided to rest their starters or whatever for whatever reason. Riley Leonard put up like 30 points on that man. I thought they were going to win at one point. So I think
he killed him.
Yeah, he killed him, like literally a backup quarterback, which he should have been paying from before. I don't know why they brought in old man River to play and lose three games when they had a back there.
I know
that could do that. Like, it doesn't make any damn sense. But anyways, I think New England. I don't think that the Texans are going to be able to score enough points to keep up with them. I think it's going to be a low scoring game, definitely. You know, I think it's going to be under 20 points for sure. I don't have any faith in Stroud. I just don't. Watching that game yesterday, they shouldn't have won that game. If their defense wasn't as dominant as they were, they should not have won that game. Like, the touchdowns they scored was like, one of them was off a fumble return. And I can't remember if they scored two defensive touchdowns. But anyways,
it was the pick six and the fumble recovery.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it was all defense. It was all defense. That offense was – they were atrocious, man. They were bad, bad. So, but let's see. Anything could happen.
Yeah, no, I was saying I think Stroud is the X factor. Stroud is the X factor.
Plus, isn't Houston a home? Isn't Houston a dome team? Like, don't they play in a dome?
Yeah.
Because now they're playing in New England. It's gonna be fucking cold out there. So that's another thing to factor in too. Like, New England's one of New England's biggest advantages. Yeah.
But they seem to handle Pittsburgh pretty well, though, in the least the weather. Defensively, true. Not offensively, but defensively.
True. But I mean, home field means something. Home field advantage means something.
It does mean something.
Yeah.
Especially in the playoffs, man.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's minus 10 out there and, you know.
The crowd's on you.
Crowd's on you. Crowd screaming. It's not an easy place to play. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I like I said, but I think Stroud is the X factor. I think if he's playing close to his potential allows him to be, and he's not turning over the ball, I think it'd be a close game. But I'd probably say the Patriots as well, to be honest. But it's just because I think May has better protection than Stroud does, and I think that's what it's going to come down to, because both those defenses are really good. But yeah. I think. May is going to have better protection than Stroud. I think that's just it's going to come down to that. But if Stroud can hold the line, though, I think that game is going to be like down to the wire. But we'll have to see. Last but not least, the Bears and the Rams. I know you were saying before about Chicago's got a good shot, and you know, and LA's, and you know, they're coming into the cold, and you know, we got Gunslinger Caleb, Gunslinger Stafford too, even though he's more reserved now, but Stafford. I kind of want to say the Rams, though. But who do you guys got?
I'm definitely taking the Rams.
Yeah, I gotta go with the consistency of the team. I don't think the Rams. I don't think the Rams are gonna make the same mistakes that the Packers did. You know, I think they're gonna go early. They're gonna stay up early, and with Puka Nacua on one side, Davante Adams on another side. I think they're just going to keep moving the ball. Even if they just keep on getting threes. Yeah, all those field goals add up. So, I mean, definitely taking the Rams.
Yeah, and just the more experienced quarterback, you know, Caleb's inconsistencies, the pressure of being, you know, trying to get to the next round, I think is going to affect them a little bit. And the Rams' defense is pretty good, though. They're gonna mix some stuff up. I can see them tricking him into a couple turnovers, and I just don't know how the Bears defense is gonna stop Puka, man. Like they're another simple defense, and McVay just has fun with teams like that because he knows what you're doing, your responsibilities, whose job is what, and he's gonna design a bunch of plays to mess with your rules. That's what he does. So the teams that mix it up or play super physical and like have guys that could jam and play man to man, those are the teams that give him trouble. But zone teams, he kills zone teams. Stafford's like throwing no look passes.
Yeah. I agree. Puka Nacua and even Davante Adams. Those guys are the type of guys. Yeah, you got to bump them off the line when they're coming off. You got to play tight man on them. You got to be physical with them.
Yeah.
You can't play zone on them because they will find the weak spots in the zone and they could catch the ball. Like Puka, he had like two touchdowns last game. And Davante Adams, shoot. This guy had like, what, 17, 18 touchdowns on the year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Chicago's going to be able to slow down their offense. You know, they might play from behind and they might catch up somehow, but I don't think it's going to be another Green Bay, Chicago game.
Yeah, it's funny because when I think back of the Rams, like last year when they put, I don't know if you guys remember that game in the playoffs. Well, I know for sure Carrie does, but like that game was in a blizzard, and they held their own. They held their own, which was actually kind of surprising. And now you got Davante Adams, who's you know, because even in that Philly game, he was amazing in that Philly game last year. Stafford's proven it. I think the defensive line, like the core of those guys prove that they can play in this cold weather to me, at least for hold them down like that. And they did well. I think they only lost by like 4 or 6, if I remember correctly off the top of my head. But I'm like, so that alone tells me, and that Eagles team is definitely way better, or they're definitely better, I should say, than Chicago. So like, I don't know. I'm just kind of doing the math in my head a little bit. They can run. They can play. The front four is still crazy. They're going to get to Caleb. Like, I'll be surprised if the Rams don't win this. They should win this. And honestly, I feel like I need to be right about Chicago. I've been saying they're overrated or slightly overrated for a long time, and I need to be right about it.
Well, they make it to the second round, Calvin. I don't know if you could still say that they're overrated when they make it to the divisional
I know. You're right. That's what I hate.
If they were one and done, it would be a different conversation.
But yeah, no, and honestly, we were all kind of saying this. I feel like the representative of the NFC is gonna come from the NFC West. So I think it's the three out of the four teams from the it's from the same division where we're kind of on par with that, right? So
yeah.
I think it will be a NFC West final for the NFC Championship. I'm realistic. I'm just hoping it's San Fran. Like I said, I ain't gonna say it. I'll never say it. I'll never admit it. Never say it. But you know, I'm hoping it's San Fran in LA. But you know, anybody who disagrees, I mean, you wearing the shirt. You can't be putting your thumbs down, bro.
I'm showing respect to the GOAT of receivers. That's it. Nah, man. That's it.
I can respect that. I can respect that. Well, let's reconvene next week, guys, man. And thank you as always, man, for hopping on the app, man, and having these conversations and talking football, man. This yes, second favorite sport for this season, at least. I appreciate y'all. And to your point, Carrie, again, sorry, you're right. The Eagles do have a shot next year.
Yeah,
it's just the way they finish, but they got a shot.
I know,
they still got a lot of pieces and draft picks. They'll still be all right.